And yeah, I was a child and I had a blast. It was like one of the best moments of my life. And then I started going to like local shows and stuff. So one of those is probably one of the more memorable ones. I actually have a bit of a, like, it might be a slightly problematic story for a very memorable one. So, but my now partner of like over 7 years, he is a musician. And he...
I know the story. Sorry. It was not about...
Do you think I shouldn't tell it? I don't know if I should
tell it. I like Hans,
it,
to be clear.
Yeah. He's an awesome dude. We all know.
This is, I mean, it's just... So basically, he invited me to see his band for the first time.
Memorable and, for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. And they were playing a fundraiser. And I was really excited to see them. And this was a fundraiser for like a neurodivergent community, specifically folks with autism. Whoever planned it, basically, they were a rock band. And they started playing, and it was really not, I think, the right choice of music for the environment. And a lot of people were really upset with the music. And so I was, like, seeing my partner play for the first time and wanted to be so, like, happy for him. And he's playing with his band, but there's a lot of folks in the audience who are really not enjoying it just because it was far too, like, overstimulating. And it was really poorly booked in that sense. And so I'm just, like... Yeah, it was an interesting, memorable experience seeing him be very poorly received despite being very talented in that first show, through no fault of really anyone except for maybe the organizer.
Oh, I thought this was a different one, sorry.
No, what did you think it was?
The Nazis.
Oh, the Nazis show. Oh, that's the most memorable. Yeah, it is, sorry. Probably also, I just told like well-known. A problematic one instead. No. The Nazis showing up at his show, that actually maybe would be the most memorable. That was pretty messed up. Yeah.
Jack, how about Jack Stoller, CKT spoken word coordinator? How about you? What was your first show or most memorable show? Both.
I have both. My first show was those couple of years that YTV was organizing tours. So it was Christina Aguilera and the Moffats, and then a couple of other bands at like the Saddle Dome in Calgary. I was like probably 8 or 9 years old. And then my most memorable concert was a Swanee Pearl Popolo show. And it was in, I think, 2018 when Saul Williams played, with, Tanya Evanson and, Kai Kello's project opening.
Memorable.
Saul Williams is like one of my like absolute icons. I never thought that I would see him, live. And he's just like such a figure that looms large in my imagination. And then he just sat on the edge of the stage at Sala and like had personal conversations with the people in the audience and like played a few songs, but it was just so intimate and he's so like humble. It was incredible.
Sounds wonderful.
That's special. Yeah, to see a hero play. That's my most memorable, which I'll get to in a sec. But I was thinking, like, my first one, I was thinking about, like, being a teen or whatever. Like, that's when you think it was your first show, which was Marilyn Manson in Edmonton, Alberta.
Canceled.
Really?
I know.
I didn't want to go. My friends were into that kind of music.
So far, 3 out of 5 of us have been canceled over the course of this conversation.
And it was in the I've gone to a couple Marilyn Manson shows, but on so purpose.
Oh. Yeah. It was in the notorious Bible-tearing period of Manson's career. Oh, but then I realized, no, my first show would have been Raffi.
Oh, baby beluga.
So I was a little tiny kid in Kitchener, Ontario.
Have you seen his posts?
He's a lib poster.
He's hashtag resistance,
He
man.
Literally is.
I actually love it.
It's sweet. Yeah it's sweet, actually.
Really
but
sweet
I also kind of roll my eyes a bit. But if you're in your 70s and you're...
Honestly, like, there reaches an age, like, about your age, Andre, when you can start to... I'm just kidding. But no, like, a certain degree of hashtag resistance posting, it's like, good for you, you know? And you still have hope. Which is really, like, we're just
That's
all
true.
Doomers here.
That's
the
true.
Problem.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
true.
I die in the trenches with Raffi.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't wait for Andre to make Trump his whole identity. Like, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's that or the Civil War. You have
I'm
to choose.
Civil War. Blue hat. My most memorable, though, is, this is weird. I lived in Taichung in Taiwan, and... Matador Dragon. Records artists were touring through Taiwan because there was some connection. So this is like probably early aughts. And Cat Power came through Tai Chung. She played basically a living room with a freaking grand piano. And it was the... might have been the greatest tour. And if you know that music, it's like extremely intimate. So it was the most gorgeous thing. We sat there like sipping whiskey from the corner store, weeping. And it was so special. And so like that was just like a really incredible show. It was,
if
like,
listeners could only see Jack's expressions
I'm
right
shook.
Now.
Yeah. Shook.
You like Cat Power?
Wow, I love Cat Power.
Have you seen her play?
No.
Okay. It was, yeah, really special. So thanks for answering these, because this is like the sort of thing where it's like, I didn't know this about you guys, and we're in a music context today. So, yeah, that's really good. let's change gears. Rachel, what's on your mind this weekend? Maybe like politically or like, you know, like what are we following that's maybe kind of funny that we can laugh about a little bit? Not the grim doom stuff.
Well, that's the problem. You're talking to the person whose whole life is just grim and doom
I know.
And bullshit.
Okay. Well, then how about an upbeat thing that made you a little good vibes, hopeful, feeling nice?
Do you know what's actually really nice is I've been going through it for a variety of reasons, several of which I can't say on air for personal safety reasons. And I put a call out for, you know, subscribers. And I've been really, really honored to see how many people are still interested in paying for independent journalism. That was a really nice, hopeful moment. And it felt very validating of the work that I'm doing, so that was really nice. And I had a really good brunch this morning at Au Vivre.
Okay.
It was a little vegan brunch. Okay. So
that's pretty good. Yeah, and listeners can definitely go support Rachel's work at bubblepop.
Oh, it's actually rachelgilmore.substack.com or Rachel Gilmore on Patreon. My media company that I started is called Bubble Pop.
Yes.
I don't know. It's just part of the brand, but
yes.
It really, if you just Google Rachel Gilmore, you can find all my stuff. But
and people really can,
Rachel.
People really can support independent
Beyonce.
People really can support independent journalism just by being like, yeah, I got $5 a month. And sometimes it's a challenge to like click, but like do it, because that's how people who are hustling actually make ends meet. So
yes. And also, if you don't have the means, you can also subscribe on YouTube and watch there, because at least there I get AdSense money. And so that's actually a huge way to help support someone's work if you can't afford to actually financially support it yourself. It can be really helpful to just watch their work in the right places. Like, I don't, as much as I'm so grateful for the communities wherever I have them, like TikTok and Instagram and stuff, but YouTube is the one place where if you watch my videos there, I actually get a couple pennies from it. So
wow. Yeah. Rachel Gilmore show for Google.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I love big tech.
Paris, I know that you're excited this week because we'll be paying more for Apple products, isn't that right?
Yeah, I love when electronics get more expensive. You know what, though? I think I was really, like, happy this week because Hamilton has brought in a moratorium on AI data centers, which is a really significant development in Canada. And, you know, we're seeing growing opposition in Nova Scotia, in New Brunswick, in Ontario, in Quebec, in British Columbia, in Alberta. Like, you know, it's kind of spreading across the country at this point. And to see Hamilton like make this move, it was a really significant development because people there were really worried that the data center was going to get pushed through because there's not like local planning restrictions on data centers. And so, you know, it was just going to get by without much, you know, review and things like that until, you know, people in the community got involved. And now there's a moratorium. And, you know, I think we've been seeing this stuff in the States for the past, like, year really bubble up. And now it's really coming to Canada in a really significant way. And I find that really hopeful as someone who hates the tech industry. So,
Yeah, and there's some inspiration in just how coherent people's reaction is to this moment.
Totally.
And we're going to get back to talking about your book in a sec after I want to hear what Liam's
How dare you?
Feeling good. No, well, I do want to hear about the book a little bit.
I'm kidding, of course.
Liam, I know why you're happy. I know why you're
Maybe.
Happy, though.
Why am I happy?
I know why Liam's happy.
Okay,
because last week you mainlined dozens of hours of deep conversations about deindustrialization.
Oh, that's true. I did do that.
At the deindustrialization conference at Concordia.
You sound so excited.
I went, and it's like, it's so cool because it's all these like true nerds who each have specific
as opposed to who you normally spend your time with.
Journalism nerds, it's like different. It's like these people have a specific thing they're an expert on, and it's so special. Like,
yeah, we
so
all have cool. our little pet commodity,
and then they all come together.
Yeah,
and
what's your commodity?
Coal.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's my commodity.
So, yeah,
well, yeah,
the more
like,
burn in the better.
You just want to like destroy those rocks.
Yeah, no, we should. No, we should do a. No, we need to do a just transition back to coal, which is like it's like a really funny joke that only makes sense to a couple of people who've read one book, where like Timothy Mitchell's Carbon Democracy, which is basically like with a transition to oil, which is like a so much less involved process to extract like energy from the ground rather than coal, where you need like a lot of hard labor. There's a lot like less leverage for the working class, which is why allegedly, according to this guy, and this is a thesis that's like hotly debated among the nerds that are at this conference, this is, you know, like the strong labor unions and like coal mines and sort of stuff is why you had, like a force behind things like social democracy. So my non-serious political opinion is that we need to stop doing oil, go back to coal solely because
so we get unions back. Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
Please, yeah, that's actually not my political opinion. but no, yeah. So it was this was the deindustrialization.
If we do enough carbon capture, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's fine. If we take the coal out of the ground, which is carbon, and then we put the carbon that we burn
back into the ground,
in the ground, exactly. It's like recycling.
Yeah.
Liam, famously an Alberta separatist, you must be excited then about this as well. Things are looking really good.
I'm not an Alberta separatist. It's one of these things where it's like, again, as an Albertan, like,
we'll just try to defame each other here.
Yeah. Only because we're friends. Yeah. But no, like, yeah, like as an Albertan living in Quebec, it's really, really insane getting reactions from my friends here and then my friends back home, just sort of like, oh, so are you going to vote to separate in two referendums now, Liam? And I'm like, well, no, I can't. I've lived here too long. I'm not going to commit voter fraud to vote in like Danielle Aww. Smith's like sham referendum. Allegedly, you know, but like it's one of these things where it's just like it's really weird, and like I've been really frustrated with a lot of the media coverage on this, both in Anglophone and in Francophone media, because of course there's like a really tempting sort of thing to try and like draw a line and a comparison between Quebec and Alberta, and like that makes sense. It's just that like Quebec sovereignism is like driven by actual historical grievances. Alberta separatism is like driven by people who really want to drill more oil, and like that is like it doesn't go further than that.
And dark money, and like the Alberta right to own two boats,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Like it's one of these things where it's like I don't want to be the kind of socialist that says that everything is like a CIA plot, and like this is all COINTELPRO. This is all like the feds trying to undermine everything. But like
now we get to the conspiracy hour.
Yeah, I don't want to get too conspiratorial because like I swear, guys, I'm really hinged. But like. Alberta separatism, if it's not a CIA plot, I'm sure some folks in Langley are patting themselves on the back. Hmm. Like, it is such a... It's so incredibly dumb.
Have you ever seen Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon go out to Alberta?
Oh, yes,
and
I have.
Stuff he says out there?
Oh, it's so...
Excuse me?
Yeah, no, he does missions.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Yeah. Also, sorry, really quickly... Mm-hmm. Did you also see the Toronto Star did a piece, Richard Warnicka, where they interviewed one of the main proponents of Alberta separatism? I believe his name is Mitch Sylvester. Is the one I'm thinking of?
Yes.
I believe that's the right one. I really hope I'm not saying the wrong name here.
He is one of them.
I will just I'll give the caveat of please Google just to make sure I'm naming the right person. But
does he wear a cowboy hat?
He believes the King of England wants to personally assassinate him, and he said that to Richard Warnicka over coffee, Richard like laughed.
Charles's fingers.
Then he was like serious. He's like, haha, yeah, no, they don't. And he's like nodding while like saying no, you know what I mean?
Charles's fingers are too messed up from gout. He can't hold a gun or a knife, so it couldn't happen. I want to flag that Alberta Advantage will be having an episode about Western separatism coming up soon. That's
yeah,
what I heard.
About why we
it's
need
in
it.
The pipe.
It's
yeah.
in the pipe.
Yeah, it's why we need a left wexit. That's the official position is that Alberta should separate from Canada in order to more effectively do socialism.
And
that is a joke.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I'm addressing an Alberta topic on a Montreal show, I know. It's just that it's like, because we have a couple Albertans here, like Jack, I'm kind of curious as well. What's your take as a like very anchored Montrealer, but formerly from Calgary?
For Alberta specifically, not for Quebec.
That's my take, yeah.
Yeah. nobody would be mad if Alberta left, but not like this, I think, is my take. Okay. As, you know, someone who grew up in Alberta. Andre has been trying to pass me the mic for this entire topic of conversation. So that's my hot take. You can cancel me over that.
I lived in Alberta for 9 years. I'm like, kind of, I get it. Like, I kind of get it. It's just that it's like so dumb. It's so dumb.
Can I just say, because I know you're very ignorant about my part of the country.
I'm very ignorant.
Yeah. But, you know, Newfoundland has a very kind of nationalistic culture.
Yes.
And we did not join Canada until 1949, mm-hmm. right? We're very distinct. We're a distinct culture.
Yeah, should Canada. We advocate for the full shattering of the Federation?
So here's the thing. Newfoundlanders and Labradorians, I think, would generally be in favor of separating from Canada. Mm-hmm. There was big debate as to whether we actually voted to join Canada.
Paris, you're about to start another separatist movement.
No, but this is the thing. Newfoundland is too poor to separate from Canada. And so that is why we don't talk about it.
Canada joined Newfoundland.
Yeah.
That's Rosie Longdecter, editor of Maisonneuve and organizer with New Feeling Music Journalism Cooperative, also a Newfoundlander. So, Rachel. You're coming down on this show this afternoon at Casa del Poblo in favor of Newfoundland independence, Alberta independence, and Quebec independence?
And Ontario independence, wow. And Saskatchewan independence, and Manitoba independence.
Can she say that?
Yeah, you're like 14 points.
Blow it all up.
Like,
actually, you know what? And I think that kind of like the Vatican,
but not
there should
independence.
Be a special city for...
Ottawa.
Let's go with Ottawa Gatineau.
Yeah.
I just want to say the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the opinions of CKUT at large.
We're going to begin to wrap up in about 10 minutes. So I do want to get to Paris's book. So Paris, you were writing this for a million years. You were complaining about it for almost as long, but it's done and it's coming out in what month?
This is my writing process, complaining about it, yes. October, actually. Yeah. October 20 in Canada.
And when you started it, like, it's about data centers.
That's correct.
And so when you started it, it was prescient, because now we're in that moment in, like, a really white-hot way.
I can see the future.
What's the book called, and what's it about?
Called Hyperscale. As you say, it's about data centers. You know, it was interesting, like, 2+ years ago when I was writing the proposal, like, the talk of data centers was just really kind of bubbling up, right? And some countries were talking about it, and you were starting to hear about it in parts of the U.S. But now, like, 2+ years on, as the book is about to come out, data centers are everywhere. People hate data centers. It's, you know, a very fortuitous time to have the only kind of mass market book on data centers coming out. So hopefully that means that, you know, it's going to get quite a bit of traction. But really, the book goes into trying to explain to people why there are so many data centers being built in this moment. You know, what is the drive behind it? What that does to communities, societies, the environment, you know, all this kind of stuff is things that I discuss in the book. And then we try to understand, you know, what is like the commercial incentive behind building these data centers, but also what is like the ideology of these tech billionaires, and why do they think that we need to have so much computation that requires us to sacrifice so much in order to build out these massive infrastructures?
It's and the public good, right?
Of course, yeah. That's all they're concerned about. and then the end kind of asks, you know, like, if this is a problem, right? If this vision of technology, if all these data centers and all this generative AI is a problem, what is an alternative vision for technology? What could technology for the public good actually look like? I think that's a discussion that more people are starting to have and is where things are going. And so that's, you know, hopefully as people want to learn about data centers, hopefully they leave the book thinking like, it doesn't need to be like this and we can do something else. You know?
Wow. So Paris, you're trying to tell us that ChatGPT isn't woke enough. Is that it?
Exactly. This is the
yes.
key
oh,
problem.
Okay. Yes.
So we need,
yes.
I'll need to use Grok.
Oh, right, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I already do, actually. I asked Grok for directions to get here.
That's why you were so late.
Clear, that one's a joke.
No, I love to use X then. Yeah.
I saw someone ask Grok if the AI video of Jeffrey Epstein stopping the bullet heading for Charlie Kirk was a real video, and it said some scenes are real, yes. And I... honestly, a great bit, but...
I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't want to know.
I'm so jealous of how offline you are. And you're the tech person.
I know.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because Paris started advocating a couple few months ago. Not advocating, but kind of talking about and exploring on the show Tech Won't Save Us and in some of your blue sky tweeting about just trying to like check out a bit more, not needing to always be present for like the moment. And so sometimes when I'm doom scrolling, that comes back to me. I'm like, you know, that was kind of good that Paris was like interrogating that. So like, yes, I go on Twitter. I like rotting my brain for 18 minutes a day, but it's so bad for us. So maybe something as we begin to wrap up could be talking about ways that we actually detach from the kind of work we do, whether it's in research and broadcasting, Liam, broadcasting and public speaking, Paris, journalism, Rachel. How do we kind of step back and take time for ourselves to actually do things that are fun and good for us?
Rachel, Liam, I know what we got. Detach from journalism.
Pardon me?
Rachel, how do we detach from journalism?
Oh, yeah.
Rachel, I know. No, dude. I know you read a lot of books.
I do actually read. I just finished Dungeon Crawler Carl, and now I'm reading Parable of the Sower. And
woke.
Yeah, I'm really woke. yeah, and I actually read books. So if you don't read, I'm just saying.
But it's on paper or a screen.
I'm curious, Paris. Actually, you're coming out with a book that's going to be printed on cut down trees. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
That's how we do it. Yeah.
But no, actually, one thing I've been doing is playing Paralives. It's a new game from the people who make it. Actually, are based in Montreal, and it's a competitor to The Sims. And it's so fun, and they just released it in beta, so like it's still a little buggy, but it's really promising. And my therapist once told me that it's very interesting that I, as someone who deals with a lot of bullshit for my work, play fake worlds in my spare time. And I found that to be a bit of a harsh but fair assessment of how traumatized my reality has become.
It's a fun escape, but so too is rewiring our brains by reading words in a book. Like,
yeah.
It's just such good, like, that's, to me, that's therapy, is just like checking into a book for an hour every day.
Especially when it's slop like Dungeon Crawler Carl. Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of incredible though, because like during the process of writing my book, I didn't read many books other than like books for the book, like to inform it. And then, like, once I finished, I started picking up a bunch of novels again. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was just such a palate cleanser. Like, mm-hmm. I just felt so nice, mm-hmm. you know? And one of my favorite one of my favorite authors who I've been reading a bunch of lately is Emily St. John Mandel, who's, like, a Canadian fiction author. Loved her book, Sea of Tranquility. She has a new one coming out in the fall. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know, reading is so wonderful.
And if I recall, Paris, also during...
What?
I didn't really love it.
Oh, you're canceled for real now.
Oh, boy.
It just, like, it was too much Shakespeare. And I say that as someone who did some theater. Like, ooh. I played Lady Mac. Oh, and I don't know. I just found it a bit obnoxious.
I love that.
Is that too hot of a take?
Tranquility, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Is. Red Rising is the best series of all time.
You guys I'll die on that hill.
Yeah. We should. Yeah.
During the writing process, Paris, also, you had a little hobby where, brick by brick, you built amazing worlds. Paris. A bit of a secret Lego guy. But what were you building?
So I got the Rivendell Lego set from Lord of the Rings, and it's something like 8,000 odd pieces, I think.
Are they plastic?
Yes. They're made of oil and gas.
Okay, perfect.
Or something like that. Dead dinosaurs or something. Yeah. And, you know, if anyone kind of looks at videos of me doing a podcast, it's in the background behind me. I did also buy the Barad-dûr set, which is like the set of Mordor. But I put it together, and then I realized there was nowhere good to put it in my house. And so I took it apart and put it back in the box and returned it.
That shocks
You're
me.
About to get that refund, like, ripped back from you. Because, you know, the Lego executive, Big Lego, is always listening to
this. Big Lego is listening.
Yeah, this is true.
But one thing Big Lego can't
actually,
hear.
I think this is community radio, not a podcast. Just
that's
to be
true.
Clear.
Oh, my God. I'm so mortified.
Wow.
I don't know the difference anymore. I'm so Gen Z brained, even though I'm a millennial.
Another thing, though, Liam, that we share,
yes,
is that during the season, you and I go and sing once a week in a community choir.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful way to completely detach. When you invited me a couple summers ago, why don't you try the choir with me? I was like, what are they talking about? And then you asked a few weeks later, you want to join the choir? I was like, oh, give me the website. And then you asked a few weeks later, want to join? I was like, oh my God, okay, fine.
Yeah, like Andre's making it out like I was really nagging Andre.
You weren't.
But I wasn't.
It's just like,
was really just sort of like, oh, I'm going to choir. And I was like, that sounds really interesting. I don't that's know true. More.
Sporadically, you would bring up. Anyways, but when I joined, like from the day one, I was like, oh my God, I show up and get to turn my brain off in, you know, with 45 people just like making music together. So that for me, that's actually been a really special way to detach from like the work. For you, it's the same?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely really lovely for me because, again, it's like at the risk of sounding like too hippy dippy, but like singing does all of the stuff that, you know, psychologists or whatever mm-hmm. will actually tell you to actually calm you down because you actually have to focus and do deep breathing and all of that kind of stuff. And you actually, you know, become more mindful. And I hate mindfulness stuff. Like, I just can't do it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm too unmindful because mm-hmm. I have various psychiatric diagnoses that make that really difficult. But yeah, so the singing actually makes me literally slow down and just focus on something. And I think that's like, no matter what that is, whether that's going to garden.
It rewires the nervous system, I think, in a really special way. So yeah, so that's like actually just a real like
it's just, it's fun. We also don't need to like overthink it and basically just like cloak it in self-care speak. It can just be fun.
You have such a good nervous system, Liam.
Oh,
I'm so
you.
Impressed.
Thank
that's
you.
Nice to say. That's what all nice the doctors say.
I also feel like it must be nice when you have voices of angels like you two do because ooh. I have seen you sing and when I sing my anxiety rises
oh, no.
because I can just hear the horrific screeches.
No. I feel that too.
No, when you deigned to sing one song at karaoke a few months ago, you were great. So
that's because there was someone who was a great singer singing alongside me.
You say so. But let's wrap up with a lightning round where you lay it on me, friend, foe, or francophone. Paris, go.
Why is it starting with me?
Okay, well, someone just...
Like choosing someone for you to...
Said, just say a name. Say a name.
Oh, God.
Okay, I got one.
Sure.
Pierre Bouvier, Simple Plan.
Friend. Paris.
Oh, okay, well, okay. He is from the West Island, but, you know.
Rachel.
I can't think of anyone. I don't know. I can't think
Rachel
of a human
Gilmore
being.
Canceled.
I'm not good at, like,
think of
on
anyone.
The spot.
On the spot, okay.
Paris Marx.
Friend.
Oh, that's such a cop out.
Okay, I guess yeah, sorry to put you on the spot. Let's leave it there. We're gonna invite CKUT back. So I'll just say, listeners, Liam Devitt with Alberta Advantage Podcast and Monday Night Choir, find them on LinkedIn. Paris Mark, Tech Won't Save Us host.
I mean you could.
Their new book.
You're so professional.
Their new book, what's it called again?
Hyperscale.
Hyperscale. Find it on LinkedIn. And Rachel Gilmore,
not
find
LinkedIn.
Her on LinkedIn and support her work at
I actually do post my work on LinkedIn.
I need to.
But find me on Patreon and Substack. Andre.
I know. RachelGilmore.substack.com. Do support independent journalism. And YouTube.
And Instagram and TikTok.
Thanks a lot, you guys. This was really fun. Let's bring CKT back just for the last 5 minutes so we can talk about the festival a bit
Andre
more.
Andre Mark Carney, friend, foe, or francophone?
Oh. Francophone. Listening to Harbinger Showcase on your local campus and community radio station. We'll be back with a new episode featuring highlights from the Harbinger podcast community next week. Until then, I'm Harbinger director Andre Goulet in Montreal. Now, back to your regularly scheduled community radio station programming.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We are rooted in community support and engagement. Thank you for helping us stay on air.
It's back to school season. If you have unused tech in your home or office, consider donating it to BC Technology for Learning Society so schools, nonprofit organizations, and low-income individuals can have better access to technology. Donating is safe, easy, and helps people in your community. If you want to donate or to request refurbished equipment, you can learn more at reusetechbc.ca.